Welcome to Am I in the Wrong Room? A podcast exploring self-discovery, growth, joy, and the journey to your most authentic life. I'm Kimberly, your host and fairy god sister.
Hey, hey.
Welcome or welcome back. If you're new here, happy to have you. Hope you enjoy it. Today's heavy. Sorry for the heavy topics, guys, but we're going to be talking about what it's like when you really leave the narcissist. Let's get into it. I wrote and recorded these following thoughts about 1.5, 2 months ago, essentially when I started the podcast. I wanted to remember what I thought because I can see with each layer of healing, some things started to disappear because they were resolved within my being. The pain or rawness of emotion was replaced with Jesus, wisdom, and resolve. I remember hearing a sermon, and I think it was either T.D. Jakes or one of his associate pastors, and essentially God's goal is always going to be to bring us to a point where we really need to stop and think about what happened because we are so healed within ourselves. It's not something that we just carry from day to day. I want to start that this episode is going to be heavy. This is another episode where we will not have affirmations or journal prompts, and it can be triggering. If you find yourself triggered, please shut this episode off and skip it altogether. My friend that produces the show with me said this made her heart hurt, so keep that in mind. A few things I'm going to say are a bit outdated, but I recorded them several weeks ago, and I'll update you with my current place in my own mind after. And when I say outdated, I mean like I'm fairly certain I bring up working on my graduate application and I've submitted that. Also, if anyone wants to give me my acceptance letter, I'll take it now while I'm doing my scholarship search. Just saying. Anyhow, this is what it's like to leave the narcissist. This has been a hard episode to prepare for. I'm trying to work on my grad school application, and I no longer see the vast darkness and unknown that I once did. And by once, I mean earlier this year. I know the career I want to follow, and I can finally organize things in my mind again. Still, to come back to this place in order to help someone else is extremely difficult. I would be lying if I didn't say that within my own being, I really want to say, I don't have time for this. I don't even have the time for the idea of this episode. So if my voice sounds perfect, it's because I refuse to let it crack or cry. Understand, I have spent the last 5 years of my life crying, begging, hoping, and praying. To be honest, it doesn't matter what I say or what others say. You will not leave until you are tired, until your life is indirectly or directly threatened, or until you have nothing and not even them. I left when my life was indirectly threatened, and now I can look back and see that just enough was done not to be legally held responsible for his actions. That's a really tough truth to live with. It's bone crushing, honestly, to know where I was and that you made the most minimal effort to even help my family find me when you have gone through every device I have ever owned, tracked me going to my own mother's house, and the most minimal effort was made. I did not see a future for myself when I left, but I did know that I would die by 56 if I stayed because my heart would give out from stress. I could feel it inside of my body. I didn't know how to walk away from a relationship that I had fought so hard constantly to be functional, where I had screamed and declared my love and loyalty while simultaneously learning, I can't stay here anymore. I didn't even recognize that I wasn't the person who entered into the relationship any longer. You have to understand that in the first week, I did not feel free. I did not want to do this. I did not want this to be what was happening. I felt equally as trapped as I had felt on the bad days. I felt my ex's hatred for me, despite this all being a result of his behavior, despite no longer being in the same house as him. I still felt like if I had just booked his birthday trip to Mexico and not delayed, all would be well. I also thought this was exactly why I hadn't spent more or liquidated any of my savings to do so. I couldn't bring myself to book an international trip when this was the level of hell I had endured for more than a month. Do you see what I'm saying? Did you catch the programming? If I had just spent the money, maybe it wouldn't be so bad right now. Maybe he would be happier with me. I just endured a multi-day anxiety attack. I had almost taken my life. I had to go through all types of loops to avoid my therapist from putting me in the hospital. I had to look at my mom and realize she hid every sharp thing in her house. I had to tell my friends what happened. Why would that be any of my concern? This is what I mean about being changed and changing your mental functioning from abuse. I can admit my anxious attachment and my abandonment issues. On top of that, my godmother and stepfather both died on the same day, a year before I met my ex. But I am also a person that is always willing to try and fix it until I'm not. And that trait was played on heavily, even when he admitted he was a narcissist and became self-aware of it, or made me think he became self-aware of it. Even when he agreed to go to therapy and work on himself so we could be together, I saw a way to fix it. I was a perfect target for that reason. All of the themes that we have discussed over these last 7 episodes are not only in relation to rebuilding your life after abuse. They are what happens to you inside of the abuse. They become what you know. They are how you survive. They are your functioning. You do not know how to trust yourself because of the constant gaslighting you endure. You become an imposter of your old self in order to maintain jobs, friendships, even though you're different. And you begin to hide what is happening. You are lonely next to someone and isolated due to accusations. I mean, constant, never-ending accusations that aren't true. I experienced sleep deprivation, and not just because of the PTSD, because he would literally wake me up. He would play videos loudly on his phone and put his phone almost directly on top of my head. He'd kick, push, or anything that involved reducing the amount of sleep I could get. Fighting me when I wouldn't wake up, having blankets ripped off of me because he came home in the middle of the night and wanted me to wake up and spend time with him. Boundaries violated at first so subtly. I didn't even know when I started to allow the behavior that I would normally fight somebody over. When the PTSD that I'm still being treated for even began. The first month, I was angry. I was angry at him. I was angry at myself and going through withdrawal from my trauma bond. I was angry he didn't apologize or do anything. I was angry about more silent treatment. I had established a restraining order and daily thought to myself, maybe I should drop this. Because see, y'all, he didn't leave. I'm the one that left. I'm the one that left and went back to my mother's house. And the day that I finally started to reduce my level of attachment, he came in and for the second time destroyed our apartment. And because I had removed so many of my belongings, he stole the TV. He put another hole in the wall. Actually, there are about 6 holes in the walls throughout my apartment based on things that he did in his anger. The first incident of destroying the house is when I was cleaning up and rearranging our clothes so they would fit in the house properly. Mind you, he disappeared for several days, complaining that I didn't know how to keep the house clean. The second was after I finally said, "I give up," to which I was met with, "I give up too." So why did you destroy the house? I was scared. He had broken a window. Like I said, he's punched holes into the walls. He's broken a new door. One time early in our relationship, when things were good as good was at that point, he stated if our breakup wasn't mutual, that he would sit outside my house and never let me move on. He would attack if he ever saw another man, one of my friends, or anything. He would watch not only the house that we shared, he would watch my mother's house. I started having paralysis dreams. I couldn't tell if I was awake or not, but he was always there with a weapon trying to hurt me, and I couldn't move or wake up. I stopped eating because honestly, I eat when I'm happy, not when I'm depressed. And if I didn't see him in a dream, I could feel him. I could feel his presence following me around. What helped was learning about what a narcissist is, what they do, and the general feelings and experiences that others in my exact shoes faced. I still had to sign on to work and minimize what was happening because I've already learned that my work environment was in no way a supportive place without giving people who knew little to nothing about me access to discuss my life that they didn't understand. I couldn't even get straight answers half of the time when I asked them at work. I had learned I had to pretend to be a version or a shell of myself because my real self was only ever criticized. I constantly heard about myself, but no one ever thought of what their presentation to me was. I'm heading into 9 months now. The love doesn't actually go away. It isn't familiarity. I've had to learn to put it away. I've had to learn that as weird as it is to tell somebody that I do actually love him is because my feelings were the genuine ones. But I've learned to put it away. I've had to learn to choose myself every day. Yes, I know the terrible things that happened to me. I know the things that I have admitted, and I know the things that I may never say. Yes, I am fully aware that he is fully aware and has admitted that awareness to me and has spoken to me about leaving and finding what I really deserve. Tried to be that, quote unquote, and then went right back to what he is. My family and friends cringe when I can admit that I still do love him. But I also know that I can, should, and will never interact with him again on any level. And I do not attempt to. If I said I don't love him or don't anymore, that means my feelings were a lie, and they weren't. I just choose myself now, and I choose not to act on my feelings. I know that I will love someone else more, who I deserve, and who deserves me as well. I don't know when that time will be, but I know that that's the truth. What we never talk about as a society is what it is like to love a person so deeply that you know is a terrible person, that you cannot be around, talk to, or interact with, that you are scared of and drawn to, that your body rejects it. It literally shuts down and your heart does not beat correctly, that you have constantly hoped and prayed would take the steps to heal. We are so emotionally unintelligent, closed off, and far too shallow to realize that people can literally love someone and simultaneously know they cannot interact with that person. Most people are not, in any way, are mature enough to live or understand that reality. At one point, I was one of those people, and now it's literally something I have and am learning to manage. Too many people are not mature enough to know that the love you have for them is real and authentic, but their energy and way of existing also causes nothing but a form of energy death in and around you. And you're sitting here thinking, that's not love, and I could never live in any form of that. But my point is, shut up. That's exactly why you cannot be trusted with what is and what isn't black and white. And saying exactly those things to someone isolates them further into a reality they are unable to understand. We now have a dual reality. Remember, I was dropped onto the earth with no understanding of where I had been and what really happened. If you cannot understand why people go back to the narcissist or congratulate them for not only leaving, but staying away, this is why. Because think, we understand and know that a narcissist or a sociopath, even a toxic person, is like that due to mental and personality errors. But they can also cause it in people that are unaware of the consequences of their red flags. They are literally a force of change in the negative. They alter the awareness and the functioning of another person who becomes entrapped in this person's being. Each day as that person heals, they have to attempt to figure out how to not only get back, but to live in the reality that is real and not the one that they have become trapped in. It is a choice that has to be made. It involves regular mourning. You will see and hear them in your dreams, in your gut, and a variety of other means, despite not wanting it yourself. We do not teach young people enough the experience, consequence, and impact of being with a spirit of Delilah. We talk about good and bad, toxic and health, sane and sick. But we do not talk enough about the story of Samson from a standpoint that is applicable because we ignore the feelings instead of teaching how to manage them. Let's be honest. I'm a church kid. How much did you ever learn about emotional intelligence? How much was that something that was taught along with all the other Bible stories and lessons that we learned? Now, I'm not criticizing the church, the black church, or anything else for that matter. I'm making a point. There's a real lack. There's a real lack of emotional intelligence that is being taught. If there is nothing else that you can do by the end of this episode, all I need you to do is congratulate whomever you come into contact with for the hard things that they do. I don't care what you feel it should have been, what they should have done or shouldn't have done, just congratulate them. So this is the update I have about 2 months after recording these initial thoughts. I'm about 10 months free and heading into a year after my ex, which is mind-boggling because I really did not plan a life without him. Enjoying it thoroughly, though. Excited about the things that are happening and coming together. But I will admit, it was extremely unplanned. There are layers of grief and purging that will keep occurring. What stands out to me is the question, how are you doing now? Is anything worse or better? I would always answer, I'm actually doing better than the last time you asked me that. I felt guilty at that being my answer, though, because I felt like it invalidated the last time I answered that question. But healing and recovery comes in layers. Learning the extent of no contact has been in layers. Dealing with the self-betrayal I feel towards myself and realigning myself with my family, friends, and God, layers. Learning the survival behaviors of each layer and then unlearning and replacing them with more healthy behaviors. I decided on sobriety. I had no real end date, but it interrupted singing. Knowing what life was like when I was sober, I couldn't deal with life sober, but maybe if I had have been sober, maybe I would have left sooner. I really can't tell you. It became a mask to not deal with the overwhelming amount of feelings I didn't know how to deal with. But when I started this part of my life, I had a new layer of grief to deal with. I needed to learn how to pray more than I already was and differently. I had to realize that I was still trying to control so many things that were outside of my boundaries. I had to admit that when I started to feel sad, that was the moment when I tried to numb myself. After mentally, unconsciously, and consciously fighting for control, I had to not only relearn boundaries, I had to create new ones. It's praying that I hope someone is okay, that I'm worried about their quality of life, and I want to see what's happening, but I don't need to see what's happening. That's outside of my boundaries. Because what am I going to do about it? Nothing. What am I going to try to influence? Nothing. So I'm doing something with that concern that brings me nothing. The dreams have changed. They're less attacking and more, how could you leave me? You left. It could have been perfect. Just reach out and I'm sorry. But in every dream like that, there was always a woman following us around and totally being where she shouldn't. My brain is showing me what was happening that I was ignoring. And I totally know that energy is exchanged when you're in a relationship with someone, especially if sex is involved. And those lines and connections don't just magically melt away. It takes work and effort to close them. I could read energy when we were together. I could see the doors opening and closing on feelings. And why I simultaneously ignored other things, I don't even know. Just like I shake my head at myself. But I'm still learning to close these doors permanently. The Jesus way, and not any other way the world has come up with, point blank, period. The change started with one dream over the summer. After I started treatment, I was attacked, and all the extras in the dream turned and went to defend me. And then the other half of the extras came and comforted me. Ellie, the dog who's on my feet right now, would show up and fight off whatever form of animal showed up or would bark when she seemed to sense his presence too. Or she would just sit in between like she did in real life. I don't see him at all or much anymore. In my dreams, I mean, I have not seen him since the last court date I had. I don't feel his presence foreboding in my dreams or fear him showing up and just being present in every scene I see while sleeping. I don't see his mom, and I am not defending any longer why I chose myself. I am not paralyzed, and I am not in danger. I have to remind myself this is the most calm and at peace I have been in my entire adult life. And to enjoy it without worrying that it's about to end, I enjoy it now. I enjoy coming back into a house with just my dog in it. I recognize all the things I couldn't do, like sing on the church choir, talk to my friends freely, buy whatever clothes I want, eat or not eat dinner, eat a vegan meal or not eat one, whatever. Making the investment in myself has been one of the most rewarding things I've done as an adult up to this point. I know I wasn't healthy when I got into that relationship. Well, now I know that. It's having a lot of tough conversations, but the fear of having them has dropped so significantly. It's cutting people off immediately. It's realizing I'm not for everyone, and I love it that way. It's seeing that I have been giving too many people the chance to even interact with me when I can initially see I don't like the energy or the feeling or the personality that I'm dealing with. It's trying to learn how to make friends and recultivate friendships that would be so strong if I hadn't allowed myself to deal with what I was dealing with. There's been a lot of forgiving myself for the self-betrayal. That is really the hardest part. Actually, just to share, I went through deleting a whole bunch of pictures that were stored in backup that I didn't realize were there. And by the time I was done, I found myself not extremely upset, but just like this dull, numbingly unhappy. Only to realize I was upset with myself because there were times he told me what he was and I chose to try anyway. It's realizing that when I left, I didn't want to. Knowing that I will likely never hate my ex. And I will always hope that he becomes all of the things he could be. And knowing that I think that way because I am a super loving and encouraging person. And literally learning that no contact is not the silent treatment punishment I experienced. It's literally a wall where I do not care what happens on the other side. I only care about the work and the brighter skies on this side of the wall. Because that means I don't need to allow my ex or anyone like him in my life. And I do not need to feel guilty about that. It's venturing out to make 10, 12, 15, and 17-year-old Kimberly as happy as she had always wanted to be. It's learning to manage and forgive myself for the self-betrayal that I see or saw every single day, and realizing that every choice and every step I make today is for the future me to look back and be proud. I am loved by God, by myself, and by others in that order. If anything I said today is your reality, I love you. Choose yourself. Bye.